This podcast was recorded at Hartford Street Zen Center, Isanji, in San Francisco. Please help support our temple by making a donation at hscc.org.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm tired. Still, I guess once things are kind of rolling, I guess you can sort of keep it going indefinitely if you wanted to have an indefinite session. But it takes quite a lot of effort to make something like this happen. So I'm grateful to all of you. It's occurred to me more than once during this retreat, I'm too old for this shit. Yeah, I guess not really, but the body is protesting in ways it didn't used to, and it's like there's always a migraine lurking around the next corner, waiting to pounce. So, still, it's worth it. To be reminded of fundamentals. I saved my favorite story for last. And because it's my favorite story, you will all have heard this perhaps many times. But it quite succinctly expresses, without explanation, the treasure of our lineage. The other day, I was looking at this story again, and I saw a version of it that I had not seen before, and that I think is a version that was kind of like a tampering with the original. So, since we're about to open our retreat vessel, then this can be like a bedtime story. Some of us are going to go and take a nap. Anybody sit up all night? No? Good. Anyway, one day, our ancestor, can you guess which one? Got it in one. Shakyamuni's there too, of course. Dongshan went to see his teacher, and Yunyan was a little surprised because Dongshan was in his traveling clothes. And as I see the story, Yunyan was a little taken aback. Now, of course, I am busily projecting all kinds of crap into this story, but it feels so familiar because I have also had that experience. Someone comes to see me, a student comes to see me, and he or she is, maybe not literally, but figuratively, in traveling clothes, and has come to take his or her leave. So I experience this story as more or less I experience all of them as a actual experience, real life, not mere literary wheel spinning. So I imagine Yunyan looking at Dongshan up and down and having a puzzled look on his face. And Dongshan says, no, Yunyan says, where are you going? And Dongshan says, well, in fact, I am taking my leave of you, but I haven't yet decided where I'm going. And Yunyan, after a pause, says, you're not going home, are you? Dongshan says, no. There's another pause, and Yunyan says, you're not going to Honan, are you? Dongshan says, no. Now, I'd love to know why Yunyan wanted to know whether Dongshan was going to Honan, but there are no footnotes. So I'm thinking maybe it was a place infamous for monks who have cast aside their precepts. So so Yunyan, perhaps a slightly desperate move, says, you know, once you leave, you and I probably won't meet again. And smart Alec Dongshan says, it'll be hard for us to avoid meeting again. Which, yesterday when I read that line, I thought, that's denial. That's what that is. And finally, Yunyan realizes the game is up. And this very dedicated and gifted and rather arrogant student is leaving. So Yunyan just says, Acharya, since you've assumed the burden of this great matter, you must be very, very careful. Dongshan acknowledges this with a nod. And then he says, if people ask me about you as a teacher in years to come, what shall I tell them? Yeah. Another long silence. I envision this as happening very early in the morning, before it gets light. And having been to Dongshan, having been to Tiantongshan, I can imagine what the scenery was like at that hour of the day. So, long silence. And Yunyan says, just this person. And as you may know, that is something that someone who was in court and had been accused of a crime admitted his guilt. That was the phrase that was used. So they parted company and indeed did not meet again, at least not in the usual sense. So, and then I saw this other version where Yunyan says, just this person, and Dongshan does not reply, and it says, Yunyan hit him. And I think that is such bullshit. I'll tell you, this is one of those mixed lineage people trying to get their foot in the door. I'm not naming any names, but I'm quite convinced of that. So, when you tell your descendants this story, don't say Yunyan hit him. It's ridiculous. Or if he did, he hit him the way Tsukiroshi hit that towering young African-American man in the hallway at Page Street. Back in the day when they didn't lock the front door and people were wandering in and out all the time, and Tsukiroshi comes out of the zendo and with his jisha, and there's several young African-American men standing there. And he walks up to them, doesn't say anything. And one of them says, he was carrying his kotsu. And one of them says, what do you do with that stick? And Tsukiroshi says, I hit people with it. And he just barely touches him on the shoulder. So if Yunyan hit Dongshan, that was how. Now, this story, honest to goodness, shows the, you might say, the pivot of the house. And it's one of those remarks in Chan or Zen which can break the stream of the inner dialogue. Yes, so can hitting people, but that's not our style. If our all of our tremendous effort and suffering and difficulty and even joy and pleasure in practice could all just stop at just this person. We would all be then heroes of the lineage. So, as I've been trying to do, I wrote my own little poem for this story. The majestic peaks behind Tiantong Monastery are shrouded in heavy mist. The inner room is a place of profound mysteries. The precious jewel has been yours forever. The time has come to let its light forth to cover the whole world. People will demand, who will do this? Who? Answer truthfully. Just this person. So if anybody asks you about the treasure of the house, you can tell them that story. And I don't know, I would say it'd be really good if you could be clear that that is indeed the treasure. And after several days of retreat, I'm sure you are enjoying it freely, as the saying goes. Do you have any questions? Please ask if you wish to clarify something or make a comment.
So I was thinking about the sort of the violence in the tradition, and it's kind of disturbing to me, especially when I think about not even a mixed, it's purely Soto Zen, when you look at a Heiji and how they're treating the young men with that physical violence, throwing people downstairs or hitting them. And this is real.
Yeah.
And this is our tradition. And it suddenly, this is so...
Yeah, but I'm not sure if what they do is, it's like, do they get to corner the market? It's like, I don't think so.
Well, this is Heiji and Sojiji are the...
The Japanese. But this is if you come to the SCDA meeting,
okay.
This conversation goes on and on and on. Like,
which
are we, you know, are we practicing the Japanese style? Is that what we're doing? And actually, pretty much nobody thinks that anymore. People think, actually, this is American Zen.
Okay.
And while I don't know anybody who uses that kind of violence in that whole organization.
In American Zen.
In American Zen.
Okay, but it is part of our heritage.
It's part of our history.
Yeah.
And yet, the fact that it didn't really make it across the Pacific, I think, is a very good sign.
Okay.
Now, apparently it made it to Italy.
Mm.
But we don't have to worry about that fellow.
Well, anyway, I just find it interesting being somebody who was an interfaith chaplain, and you look at other religions, and I don't know what happens in Christian monasteries. I mean, maybe there's, I don't know. It sounds more like they flog themselves and stuff like that, but.
Well, it used to be quite severe, but I think not so much anymore.
Beating each other?
For instance, you heard of the Chapter of Faults?
Mm-hmm.
It's a kind of violence to tell someone that he has to lie across the threshold of the refectory every meal and let people step over him.
That's if they've sinned,
right? Yeah, some infraction.
Okay.
Now, I don't think anybody does that anymore, but they did. So. It has been said, religion brings out the worst in people.
So,
it must be very, very careful.
Okay.
Yes?
Well, it's just an experience, because I was thinking of it actually on the other talk also. But just, there's this, for me, very difficult quote in the New Testament where Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent can bear it away.
Oh, I don't even know that one, really. Is that in the Synoptic Gospels, or just one?
Yeah. Which one is it in? I think it's only in one.
Wow. I'm going to look that up.
Yeah,
that is kind of creepy.
Yeah, I thought too. Then you read interpretation. Well, they're saying that it suffers violence because the Jews don't believe it. I'm like, I don't think that's what he's talking about. But, it's a weird one.
Pasolini's a great film, The Gospel According to Matthew, I think. Gets a lot of mileage out of the scene where Jesus kills the fig tree because there wasn't a fig on it, and that's also that episode I know about, where he says, "You do not bear fruit, you shall perish," and the tree withers on the spot.
Wow.
So it's like we all have to be very, very careful. And if I have perpetrated violence against any of you, of any, even a subtle sort, I confess and repent. Yeah.
Sometimes I feel this sort of disconnect. On one hand, I make an effort to connect with people using a light touch, because I know it's easy to frighten people away or insult them or whatever.
Yeah.
What's going on inside is I'm swinging a stick left and right as hard as I can, beating the holy hell out of everybody because they won't do as I want them to do.
Yes.
You know?
I too feel this way.
I'm reminded of when I went to Dokusan with Hissan one time, I had this bad crush on someone.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, "I'm in love." And he said, "Oh, that's nice." Pause. "So what's the problem?" He said, "He won't do what I want him to do." He said, "Oh, well, that's not love, is it?"
Uh-huh.
So, and I find too, when I'm sitting a lot, that there's, it's that dynamic is still there. It's like my thought may be racing about, oh, you name it. It could be anything, you know. Usually not very charitable thoughts,
mm-hmm.
right? And then in the next moment, I'm just enjoying the treasure.
Mm.
It's quite interesting to see this, I don't know, ebb and flow or whatever it is going on.
Yeah, it's like that quote from the Book of Serenity. It's a ball thrown on swiftly moving water. The water is constantly racing past, and we're constantly going. Yeah. Yeah. I was very, very frustrated at Tassajara when I was Tonto. And it's my own fault, because I actually thought people would do as I asked. And when I discovered that was not the case, it was quite painful there for a while. I think I took it personally to some extent, which was foolish. It wasn't really personal. But I thought I would be trusted as someone who could actually guide people. But the response, not infrequently, was, yeah, yeah, whatever. Okay, never mind. Now I don't get as frustrated, I'm happy to say. I'm sort of given up. So. But I can at least tell people about the treasure, remind them that the jewel has been yours forever. Can share its light. Jim, how are you doing back there? Are you okay today?
Okay.
Yeah. I may never walk again. My knee, as I think I said, is doing what it did at Zuyoji, except I'm not sitting seiza, so that's not good news, but oh well. Yeah.
People don't ever do what others want them to do. It's not limited to this context.
You're right.
As far as I'm concerned. I mean, I don't know.
Well, I like to think I did what my teacher asked.
You probably did some things.
Well, that's why, if I'm honest, I did some things. And other things, my response to him was painful for him.
But that's probably okay for him.
It's part of the territory. Yes.
I wonder let's put it differently. I think it's possible to hear just this person, and I think that means there's a constant need for self-correction.
Because of the legal ramifications?
Yeah, because of that footnote about the legal ramification.
Yeah.
And I think I see that in myself, in my practice, like, you know, tendency towards thinking that, sit up and fly right here, you know, you're off the beam, some kind of thing like that.
Mm-hmm.
But over time, I think, well, that's a misunderstanding.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's possible to hear it that way.
Yeah. And yet, with the background of practice, maybe it's also possible to hear that story and, I don't know, fall into the spaciousness of it. Just this person empties the whole universe. guilty as charged. Yeah. Knowingly and willingly transgress. Jeff, did you have a question? Yes. Oh, you're just scratching your nose. Well, our time's about up.
Ask one more thing.
Oh, yes, please.
When he said we'll meet again, you thought it was denial, but...
I thought Dongshan was in denial, yes.
I think maybe him, but also... Well, you said they never did meet again.
No, they did not.
Which is bizarre, because... Like, I've known you for a long time, and
uh-huh.
I come and go, and here we are.
Well...
So, if I leave now, or whenever, I'll probably see you again.
Yes, I think... Actually, I think Yunyan had a premonition of his own demise.
Oh, did he
died shortly thereafter.
Oh, so that's what he was... Okay.
Because
if he hadn't died, they probably would have seen each other, right? And, I mean, they're in the same kind of...
Yeah, because at some point, probably Dongshan would have come back and said, you know, I was being a schmuck, I'm sorry. Or something. But China's a good place.
He left because he didn't want to be studying with him.
He left because he had not achieved what he thought he had, was supposed to achieve.
Okay.
He was not yet enlightened, and this guy wasn't going to do it for him, so off he went.
He had a date with enlightenment, though.
He had an appointment in Samara. Apparently the current Dongshan Monastery, they have a little sign by there's a little creek down at the foot of the mountain, which was supposedly the creek, but I don't see the story that way at all. I think he had gone quite a long ways.
Oh.
And it says he turned back in the direction of the monastery and bowed. But if he'd been at the foot of the mountain, he would have gone back up there, I think, and said, you know what? It's fine. But if he was 300 kilometers away in China at that time, no.
Yeah.
And he may have been planning to go back and then heard that his teacher had died.
Mm.
So, we're also going to do the Cook's Jundo, which is a lovely part of the end of the retreat. So, if we could scramble and put the Zendo back together, we'll do that very brief ceremony, and then maybe sit a little more, and then have the Enlightenment Day ceremony. And then we're done. Thank you very much.